And welcome to the Ruthless Obsession podcast. I am your host, John Cena. Sound just like him, and you can't see me. Just kidding. I'm Diana Jevia, and I'm here with my co-host.
I have been a fan of John Cena since I was a little kid. And honestly, because my name's R-Truth. No, it's not. I'm
That's
Shane
what
Kondo.
I was gonna say.
I wasn't even a little kid when I started watching pro wrestling. I was at least in like eighth grade. Well, that was a fun intro. So there you go, Diana.
Hey, I have to tell you something because, like, this is so funny. It's like something about my really stupid humor while we're on this topic. But obviously, I was away last week and my parents and my brother came to surprise me on the trip. I didn't know they were going. And I totally forgot about this. But when I was home in December, I like gaslit is a horrible word, but like in this context, it's right and funny. I gaslit my brother into thinking there was a wrestler named Marty Keys.
Marty Keys. Sounds like a
Talking
wrestling
about.
name.
Right? We were talking about AEW's Fight Forever video game at my mom's birthday in December, and I was like, oh, did you get that Marty Keys downloadable content? And he was like, I think so. Like, I had him for a second. I was like, no, you didn't, because he's not real. So every time, like in Disney, we were coming up with like different theme songs for him. And my favorite one, Joey came up with this one. Instead of L.A. Night, it was Marty Keys.
Yes.
It's so
Yeah.
funny.
But it could never be better than Believe in Joe Hendry.
My God.
Which, not gonna lie, I listened to it on Spotify today. I'm just like, this is how you develop a character and get over with people, because this is absolutely ridiculous. His entrance theme is the top of, I think, the ch like Spotify UK
Oh my
is,
God.
it's just like, this is absurd. But I think my favorite meme was where it's CM Punk after he beat up Drew McIntyre, and instead of Damian Priest music, it was I Believe in Joe Hendry. And I'm
Oh
just
my
like, and
God.
like the little smirk comes on CM Punk's face. I'm just like, damn,
That's
that'd have been
hilarious.
hilarious.
So yeah, I think that Marty Keys should just be like an inside joke of the show now. I'm gonna do everything I can to make him happen.
Well, you know, he did get drafted number one at the completely stupid WWE draft
That's
that they had on
right. That's right.
SmackDown.
First round pick of SmackDown, Marty Keys.
So I just have to say this. I get it. They're trying to build off of that, like the NFL draft and
Yeah.
stuff like that. And I want them to go back to, when the draft was relevant. Back in like 05, where each show got like five picks and you actually stole people from other shows.
Yes.
Because, like, what the hell was the point of like 80% or so of the wrestlers just staying on the same shows?
Yeah,
And
it was really stupid.
I'm like, this is a complete waste of time. And then all the reports, like, well, they're saving all the best for Raw. And I'm like, then why the hell did they even do it on SmackDown?
Right.
If I were Fox, I'd be like, this was the best you could come up with for us to compete against the NFL draft.
It's so silly.
Basically,
And you're right. And that WrestleTalk was saying that earlier. Like, it's not like they're stealing one another. There's no
no.
trades in the middle of the not season, but year. And then another point they brought up that I really liked was like, they should be able to trade draft picks just like they do in the NFL. So like if there's someone up and coming, they mentioned, so like in this case, like a Bron Breakker, it's like, oh, we'll take him, but we'll give you a draft pick or something. You know what I mean?
Well, don't even get me started on that whole entire storyline of where Bron Breakker was gonna sign, and then
Right.
yet like boom, like 2 months later he got drafted to Raw, and I'm like,
Yeah.
why? What
And then
was the
Corbin
whole?
went to SmackDown, so you're breaking them up. It's so dumb.
So dumb. Like Carmelo Hayes was like the only like really significant draft pick from Friday, and
Yes.
everybody else was just chilling on the same show. And like, I get it. I enjoy seeing a bunch of former WWE personalities being like walked out to read draft picks or whatever, but like, it was just dumb.
It
And they
was.
need to stop doing this. And well, I think what was most disappointing to me is you legitimately have an interesting divide at this point because I'm all on the scrap iron Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis being the two GMs on these shows. I'm like, I really like their dynamic. This could have been interesting, but it wasn't.
No,
And
it wasn't.
I'm like, unless they really build it up tonight, and if they do, then why the hell did you even do it on SmackDown? So, but no, like back in 05 was when John Cena and Batista got drafted to opposite shows, and like that was a big deal. And I remember 06, basically the draft was ECW got three picks, and that was the whole draft. Basically, they got to steal three wrestlers from Raw and SmackDown. And it was RVD, The Big Show, and Wrestling Machine Kurt Angle, aka Perk Angle at the time. Because, man, was he on drugs like a lot at that point. Which, also, side note, he came out and said that he'd love to come back and be Chad Gable's heel manager at this point. I'm like, if that's even a possibility, you gotta make that happen.
I
Him.
know people are calling him Perk Gable online.
Between him and I heard they want to turn the Creeds. This is gonna be Team Angle all over again, except God, I would be afraid of the I'd be afraid of the Creed brothers being heels. They're scary enough being baby faces because the shit that they can do in the ring. So yes. Well, part one of the draft a dud. So
Yeah, you know what's also like an interesting thing with the draft that also makes it boring? Like, as much as I love that WWE does keep families together, once one is announced, you know where the other's going. So Bianca was just drafted. She was the first pick for SmackDown, not Mardi Keys. But we know where Montez Ford's gonna. So we know where the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley and all them are ending up. They're staying on SmackDown. And then we knew that champions have to stay on their respective brand. Becky Lynch just got the title. And then, of course, it was announced right away. Seth is also going to be on Raw. So that kind of takes the fun out of it. But I respect it, you know? But now I'm wondering. Oh, wait, no, sorry. She's married to Jimmy, not Jay. I always get it confused. I was going to say, Naomi, where is she going? But they haven't announced Jimmy yet.
Well, if
So.
they just did it where each show gets a handful of draft picks, then it wouldn't be anticlimactic that way because you're just drafting a couple of people. That's the whole thing. I don't need to watch a whole entire show centered around you just telling me people are staying on the same show.
Yeah,
So,
I
and
agree.
that's exactly what SmackDown was.
It's a big bunch of
Now,
nothing.
big bunch of nothing. Now, what wasn't nothing was my boy Sheamus. And my other boy, Drew
Oh my God.
McIntyre, which also leave Sheamus alone. This man was out for, this man's 46 years old. He was out for 8 months and didn't think he was coming back. So what? He's a little weaker than when he left. Well, he's still in better shape than all of you. Just like saying those things about him. But God. Drew is so good right now and such a bastard. When he's like, "You're right, Sheamus. Before you got injured, you were banger after banger after banger. But now it looks like burgers after burgers after burgers." I'm just like, damn, that was cold. And then Sheamus, I forget exactly what he said, was basically was like, "I can lose the weight, but you can't lose your personality." It's like,
Yeah, that's the oldest
damn.
line in the book, and it works.
I
But do
just
you know
love
what?
Sheamus and Drew together. It's so great.
I'm sure you've seen the comparison photos going around online. Those are photoshopped on both ends Because he's not as big as the one, and the one that's making him out to be big, like most people aren't even in that good shape, but he's not as big as that. And then he's like Arnold Schwarzenegger status on the left. And like, we all know he's toned, but he wasn't like steroid status, you know?
No. And like Sheamus for the longest time has been Triple H's lifting partner. Because like they've been friends for a long time. And like Sheamus is a big dude. And like, not gonna lie, was his height the most flattering when we came back? Probably not. And they need to do something about the entrance music because I can't hear it half the time. And I didn't even realize that his old music came back. And I missed the
Too many
lobster
lime.
heads. Which. It's such a good song, but it's so hilarious how that has turned into lobster heads and too many limes for so many years. But
Yeah.
I think what they're doing with Sheamus, with him like slowly coming back, he struggled against Shinsuke on Raw. And like you could tell he was playing up being gassed. At points in the match. Like, was he really? Probably not. He's just, playing up the part that he's playing right now. But like he had a good match against Ivar, had a good match against Shinsuke. And I guess until Punk comes back, we're gonna get Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre, which
Yeah.
I could watch big meaty men slap a meat any night of the week.
I hate that term. I don't, but you do hear.
It sounds a lot more fun when Big E says it.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's not you, Shane. It's literally any guy except Big E.
That's objectively not a pleasing thing to say. It
Maybe it's
just.
because I'm a vegetarian, so I'm like picturing like raw beef being slapped, but that doesn't sound good either.
Where's the beef?
Ugh. Yeah.
And that Sheamus Drew McIntyre match that's coming. I
Yeah.
wonder if they're going to face a backlash. That's next weekend, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that's France, right? Clash at the
Yeah.
Castle is the one where I think he's gonna get the title back. Could be.
Poor Damian Priest. And just like, well, here's a title for a bit. And then Drew's just like, you're mine. And I guess the one other thing I wanted to talk about was, so I've mentioned multiple times how big a fan of Thunder Rosa that I am. I wanted her to have the title like back yesterday, since she's come back. It upset me that she did not win the title from
Yeah,
Toni
same.
Storm, but the fact that they have a legitimate separate feud going on between her and Deonna Purrazzo says a lot about growth for the women's division in AEW. So if I have to give up Thunder Rosa getting the title so we could have like actual feuds in women involved feuds that don't have a title attached to it, I'm okay with that. And
Yeah.
boy, is it, love Thunder Rosa. She's my favorite. Honestly, she's probably my favorite wrestler in AEW, period. But Deonna Purrazzo, Italian American from New Jersey, though, it's
One
just
of
like
us.
one of us. And boy, did she pull out a one of us
Yeah.
Thunder Rosa. I'm just like, damn, that's the most Italian thing she could have done right now. So about them feuding, except how the hell did they get out of this where neither Deonna Purrazzo or Thunder Rosa are winning that title from Toni Storm?
I don't even know. And now Serena Deeb's in the mix. Like, it's just. Does
I love
anyone
her
care
too.
about her? I know that's mean. Does anyone care about Serena Deeb?
I do, but I
For
feel like she
real?
hasn't been on TV for so long. Just from
That's the
like,
thing. Okay. Maybe it's not her fault. I should say that. It's not her fault that people don't care as much about her as they should.
yeah, I just feel like I really like her being like the female Bryan Danielson. where it's just like she's on that level of technical prowess. But
Yeah.
like, I don't, when was the last time she was on TV before this?
I don't know. They made a whole big stink about how she was coming back during World's End. That's when they did the vignette that she's coming back. That was December 30th. And I think she had a couple of matches here and there,
Isn't
but
she a
then we
heel
got,
though?
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't
I'm
tell
like,
you because Akiyama's not a
then
TV.
why is she gonna get in the ring with Toni Storm for the title? I'm just like, makes no sense. And
It
also,
doesn't.
not to be mean to Willow and the whole TBS championship, how the hell do you bring in Mercedes Moné and not have her go for like the actual women's world
I
championship?
agree. No, I think that's a big miss. Also, because Mercedes is probably going to win at Double or Nothing, and I think Willow deserves better. I'm so happy for Willow.
They took it from Chris way too early, and it's gonna happen to
Agreed.
Willow too.
Chris is my girl. So I guess that whole her Willow and Stokely, like I guess they're my people because I love Chris, I love Willow, and like Stokely's fine. He's there by
Fine.
association. So
I just didn't get that whole thing where it's like Chris Statlander finally conquered Jade Cargill, and they're like, just kidding, title gone in like a month. I'm just like,
yeah, and then
what?
she's jobbing out. She's jobbing out so bad lately. Like they are screwing her up. And it makes me so mad because I love Chris.
I feel like it's such a messy situation with the women's division in AEW right now because everything's just getting thrown all over the place. And like, I don't get it. And this is a bigger problem, but like, I don't get what the hierarchy of titles are in AEW at this point. Like,
Yeah.
you open up a show and you bring out the I, what was it, I,
IGPW?
VW, yeah, world champion is just like, isn't this a world championship for another organization starting off your show? And it's just like, where's Swerve? And it's just like,
I
I don't
know.
get this. And it's like, there's too many damn titles. And I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, they're going to keep doing their thing. And I just hope that they can put some more focus in figuring out. Like, I feel like Toni Storm's situation is just like, well, let's just throw in the next person. And I
I
don't know if they have
know.
a, I don't know if they have a plan for like, I don't know if like, I'm trying to think, because not gonna lie, a whole bunch of the women's wrestlers in AEW kind of blend together for me. The Anna Jay, who's now floating around there,
Yeah.
and you have Tony's like daughter,
Okay.
Mariah May, that whole situation. Like, are they building up like her to like get turned on by Tony and win the title from her or something like that?
They're
I
trying
don't
to do
know.
it's like almost like a love triangle thing between like her and Tony, and then oh my God, I don't remember her name, but who she was with at Stardom. And I don't know, I have mixed feelings because like I'm all for inclusion, but is this queer baiting? You know what I mean? It just doesn't sit right with me.
That whole thing where they just had that one women's wrestler come out and just start making out with another one. I'm like, Tony Khan
Yeah.
knows his audience. There's a
Yeah.
bunch of dudes. They're just like, that
Yeah.
was 100% done on purpose. Yeah, it didn't feel like I don't
It
think that
doesn't
was
feel
like the first.
genuine.
No. That was like the first thing you see of this woman as she comes out and starts making out with another woman. It's like, well, now her character's just lesbian. And that's it. So that's all I know about who this person
Or
is.
bisexual, or
Or
just girls who want to have
bisexual
fun.
or pansexual. That's it, Diana. Her sexual orientation is girls just want to have fun.
Yeah, hit single from Cyndi Lauper.
There you go. What did you want to talk about?
So I want to talk about Tony Khan getting beat up by the Young Bucks because I thought it was freaking hilarious.
I don't
I
know if it
thought
was supposed to be hilarious, but it sure looked hilarious.
it was. You know what? It's campy. And the fact that he showed up, which I know his comments on the about the NFL draft, I agree that's a little controversial and we'll get into that. But the fact
Yeah.
that he showed up to the draft with a neck brace, come on. That is friggin' camp. Pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. Like, you know how much of a horror movie like fanatic I am, and I love camp. I was like, this is perfect.
Which I think the funniest thing was to like, who was covering the draft? Pat McAfee, who
Yes.
obviously is a big WWE guy. And he wasn't even the one who made this comment, but he did. It's like, I think Tony over there what took a Meltzer driver on Wednesday, like a champ. And here with neck brace on, and one of the NFL commentators called Tony Khan out for moving around like he wasn't injured in the neck brace.
It's
I'm
so
just like,
funny.
damn. But no, it was priceless where also, first off, that Christian level stare at the camera that Jack Perry did was pretty great. And
He's
then
like
when
leaning into that.
well, he is just like his father, right?
Yeah.
So Christian's a proud dad at the moment. But when he hit Tony in the stomach with a microphone, and Tony,
Grabbed his head.
it was like a couple of seconds before he reacted to it. I'm just like,
He grabbed his head. It was really funny. It's like, oh, he probably got really excited and like reached for the wrong body part. It happens to the best of us.
and like it was like, and when the Elite came out, and you're just like, they're gonna beat the shit out of him. Like, no way they're not gonna beat the shit out of him. And then, they did what are they calling it? The Con driver now, right?
TK, yeah, the TK
TK
driver.
driver.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, well, there you go.
I,
I
you know
really.
what? People wanted to see him beat. I think this was the perfect way of like, what do I want to say? Like, kind of taking a step back, right? Because people wanted to see him gone. He's getting his ass kicked. He knows people don't like him. Okay, great. Beat me up on TV. He didn't say a word. If you notice, his interaction with Jack Perry was very minimal.
Oh.
He and now, because I know it was your concern, and a lot of people were concerned, like, oh, now he's going to become an on-screen thing. No, he is now working remotely. Which, by the way, what I said to you, I was like, we should, as if we work there, we should make Shivani his mouthpiece as he has been. And that is exactly what happened. Tony was like, he's working remotely. He's not going to be traveling with us. So I feel like it's the best of both worlds. I feel like we got him off screen and people don't want him on screen. We got him off screen. And it's also advancing the story because now you're going to have, all right, well, you could have it go a few ways. Tony's not there. Who's going to be in charge? Is it going to be the EVPs? What mischief are they going to cause? Or it could go, uh-oh, they're going to get suspended, but are they going to try and fight their way back on TV in like kind of silly, evil genius ways? Like, there's so many routes you can go with this.
I really hope that they stick with him just being taken off TV. And if they do, that is great because that's exactly what they needed to do. There's a couple of, and this is going to sound nitpicking, but like thinking just logically about this situation, how the hell can the Elite be able to show up on any show at this point and not be suspended
I know.
And this is the thing about showing that footage and opening up this can of worms. CM Punk was fired for threatening Tony Khan.
I
And
know. But
then
hold
you just
on.
had.
Do the EVPs, okay, this I feel like we discussed this before. Do they have financial stake in the company?
I don't know.
Because if they
Well,
do, I feel like they could threaten to pull out if they're suspended. Like, In ca listen, in real life, we know that doesn't matter to Tony Khan. The man like pees money. But
Oh.
in kayfabe, I feel like you would have a compelling storyline. Like if you suspend that, like kind of furthering the douche, authority figure.
I feel like this is just getting too convoluted for me, and I'm just
Yeah.
like, I don't know, and it'll be interesting how they play this all out. But
Omega could come back.
well, he's supposed to come back, right?
I feel
This
like,
week.
yeah, no, I heard rumblings that he's going to be coming back. I think he's going to be on Dynamite. He's coming to one of the Canada shows,
Yeah.
but I don't think he's fighting yet. So I really feel like this could be a good time to, like, you fired me. Well, you can't fire me because I'm also an EVP and, like, you're suspended. You know, I could go that route
Yeah.
too.
Which I feel like it's gonna have to go down that road because, like, obviously, who are they gonna feud with? Of course, they're gonna feud with Kenny Omega because they screwed Kenny over. And we're just like, you're not part of our group anymore. And, like, obviously, Kenny's gonna have to put a squad together. I don't know if, like, Hangman will eventually come back and, like, they'll have that. You would think from like the person who's in charge of discipline would be Bryan Danielson, but like I don't know how many lines they want to blur here from reality and kayfabe, because like from a story standpoint it wouldn't make any sense from on screen because like he has no dog in this fight. And I don't know, obviously Kenny's gonna come back and put a team together. And they're gonna have a big blow off. I don't know if they'll t How long has it been since they did one of their like stadium crazy stadium stampede matches or whatever? I don't know if they haven't done that since things have been better after the pandemic, but like I could totally build up to that because at least that's uniquely AEW.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of that. I just think there's like so much more we can do with this. And you look at the headlines, but like consider the source. Who's saying it? Eric Bischoff, fucking Jim Cornette. They're all like, oh, they jumped the shark. And it's like, I wouldn't trust it coming from your mouth. And I just feel like we have to look at it from all angles. And I really think, as much as people want to think like it was a bad move, I really think this opened up different storylines. And also, Nick Nemeth agrees. So there's one person on my side, and he's got great hair.
Who also shockingly did not win the TNA World Heavyweight Championship for Moose at their most recent pay-per-view. I saw that like when he debuted in TNA, I'm like, he's 100% gonna beat win the world title. And then he didn't, and then Broken Matt Hardy
I heard
returned.
about that.
I'm just like, oh my God. Which honestly, I'd rather see him be Broken Matt Hardy in TNA at this point than be in AEW. And hopefully Jeff is stopping. Because to be honest, like I don't want to see him get hurt again. Because I feel like
Speaking
half
of
the
getting
moves he's
hurt, did
feel
you hear
like
that Darby Allin got hit by a city bus?
that man has the worst luck in the world.
Which, like, you grew up around New York. I grew up in New York. Have you ever heard of anyone, even on the news, getting hit by a, like, an MTA bus?
No.
So, like, what are the odds that it's Darby?
My initial thought was like he was skateboarding or something, but now apparently just walking.
One of my friends was like, oh, how much you want to bet he tried to see if he could like take the hit. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to victim blame, I'm thinking, but I'm like, that's probably, there's a good chance that could have happened.
As a human being who does not jaywalk in New York City, I have never once almost got hit by any vehicle in New York City. Yes, I do wait
Especially,
for the lights.
right? Like, and especially in New York City, like, Pedestrians don't pay attention to traffic lights. So like your odds of getting hit there, like, well, maybe if he doesn't know what he's doing, maybe, but like, I don't know. My whole point is I've crossed against lights, don't arrest me, so many times, but like I knew what I was doing. I saw no one coming, and like I'm still alive, knock on wood, I'm still here with you. So the fact that like he just crosses and he got hit, like it blows
Crazy.
my mind. Like that's special.
Crazy. But getting back to, so do I think Tony Khan getting beat up? Like, here's the thing. Personally, I didn't like it. But do I think that this is going to be, like, I saw Kevin Nash call the eye
The
poke.
finger poke. Yeah.
And I'm just like, and I'm going to try to paint a broad picture here because Tony Khan talks about how everybody just wants to attack AEW. Obviously, Eric Bischoff doesn't like the product. Jim Cornette doesn't like the product. Kevin Nash really got pissed off after, because like he's friends with Triple H, and the comments that Ospreay made obviously did not make him happy. So now he's just been making a whole bunch of comments about AEW. People are very critical about AEW. But also, Tony Khan's not doing this company any favors by turning up this tribalism that I thought people were supposed to be getting over by going on the NFL draft and calling WWE an evil juggernaut, and then calling him the Harvey Weinstein of professional wrestling, which also, first off, this whole entire comment made absolutely no sense. Like, what was he even trying to say?
Wait, did you see? Because he's like, AEW is Pepsi and WWE is Harvey Weinstein. And I'm like,
Pepsi, Harvey Weinstein.
yes, the great Pepsi versus Harvey
Harvey
Weinstein feud
Weinstein.
of 1977. Like, what?
Like, if he was trying to say it's Pepsi and Coke, I
Yes.
don't agree. Because, like, I don't think they're in the same place in terms of, like, actual competition at this point. Like,
It makes sense.
that would have been a logical comparison to try to make.
Yeah.
But, and here's the thing. Vince McMahon's a piece of shit. He's a horrible human being. And even whatever's going on at this moment being processed through with the money laundering, hush money, all that stuff, like his friend Donald Trump, all that stuff. He's still a horrible human being. He's made a career being a horrible human being on television, doing horrible things, just being a predatory businessman. It is what it is. I am so happy that WWE has moved past that. WWE seems to be in a fresh, new, exciting era. And there's room for you to like WWE. There's room for you to like AEW, TNA. I even pay attention to NWA and that kind of stuff. Tony Khan's not doing any favors with making comments like that. And the funny thing is, the next day, he made comments that should have been the comments he made the first time. It would have been perfectly fine. He's proud of his company. He thinks they have the best wrestlers, the best matches, the best shows. It's debatable, but those are things that you would expect like the owner of a company to say about their own company. You want somebody to care about their company enough to think they're the best. That's part of the deal. I think that Tony Khan, which hopefully he learned his lesson after what he said at the draft, that he's not going to make comments like that anymore. There was a couple other instances too, like Tony Storm taking shots at WWE caring about storytelling. And I'm just like, during like the media scrum after their pay-per-view, I'm just like, I don't know if that's the kind of thing that you want to like be proud of, that it's like make fun of the other company for giving a crap about story. But like, I just want AEW talent and Tony Khan to stop talking, like saying things about WWE. I'd even be happy if some of the WWE wrestlers stopped tweeting about
Right.
AEW too. Because like, I know Grayson Waller's having fun with it, Baron Corbin's having fun with it, and like, I get Baron Corbin's having a resurgence lately, but you're still Baron Corbin. Like 90% of the wrestlers in AEW are better wrestlers than you. Like, not to be mean, but like, I'd rather watch almost their whole entire roster more than you. So like,
Right.
I think everybody just needs to take a step back and focus on their own stuff. If they were in actual direct competition with each other, and you know, during the Attitude Era, there was all kinds of crap on Nitro and Raw,
Yes.
and look how that turned out for WCW. They literally read the results of Monday Night Raw when it was taped live on air to screw over WWE
And people turn in, tuned in.
to watch Mankind win the WWE
Yeah.
Championship. Eric Bischoff has a lot of opinions, but what should be happening is people should learn from what Eric Bischoff did with WCW, because it
Yeah.
wasn't great. And that was their downfall. And I just feel like there's plenty of space for AEW to thrive doing their thing. They definitely have a more indie wrestling focus. They focus a lot more on making more elaborate, high-flying, crazy matches. WWE has their style, and everybody has to work within their style. They're two completely different products.
Right.
Everybody just focus on your own shit and let us all just, you know, watch it.
Yeah.
That's my piece at this point.
So no, I agree with a lot of what you said, and you pointing out like just how. Let me back up here because I know the word that everyone wants to go to first is petty. But for me, being a reality TV viewer, petty itself doesn't bother me. Like a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about the footage and all that, it's like, oh my God, he's so petty. I'm like, guys, this is nothing. Like on a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest, this is a -7 compared to Tom Sandoval, who cheated on his girlfriend of 9 years with a fellow cast member on the show who was her best friend. Like, I've seen real shit people on Bravo making millions and people coming out with racist tweets and whatever. So, like, someone wants to air some footage. Fine, but like when you put it in the way of how Nitro and WCW like dug their own hole because they were too focused on the other products, that in order to beat them out, they were kind of screwing themselves over. That's different. So I see it that kind of way as a strategic standpoint. Like, okay, I can see how this might have an adverse effect. But when people are like, I'm not watching it because Tony likes to start drama, I'm like, I'm tuning in because I am Petty Crocker. Hand me a spoon. Like, I don't
Aren't
know.
we
I
all
thrive off that
watching
stuff.
Men in Tights doing soap operas? Because that's pro wrestling,
Exactly.
isn't it?
No, it's so true, but I see what you mean with that. Now, as far as the great debate of Pepsi versus Harvey Weinstein, I did not like the Harvey Weinstein comment. So we shouldn't be comparing anyone to, I think he's a convicted rapist, but now it's overturned. Who knows? We
So
shouldn't
I
be
guess
comparing.
technically it's not con
Yeah, it's very confusing right
that's
now.
a whole other conversation.
Right. We shouldn't be comparing a company to a very bad man when there are people in the company who are not very bad people. Now, if you wanted to compare Vince McMahon's hiring tactics to that of Harvey Weinstein, because he is allegedly, under fire for that, because, and I say alleged because the justice system hasn't done its thing, yada, yada, yada. But it'd be a different story, in my opinion, because now you're
Like,
comparing. Bad allegations to bad allegations.
If he called Vince McMahon the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling, there's not a whole lot of argument you can make about that.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at. But when you call the company Harvey Weinstein and you look at the people who work really hard, you look at the Cody Rhodes, Rhea Ripley's, everyone, the people behind the scenes, I don't like that because you're kind of associating them with like a really corrupt, horrible person. So that's what didn't sit well for me. Like if he went, which as we discussed earlier, if he went the Pepsi versus Coke route, I wouldn't be as bothered by it.
I'm
But
really
yeah, if he
wondering if
had
that's
just
what he
stuck
meant to
with,
say.
yeah, I'm gonna give him that one maybe. I don't know. Because like, and again, if he went Vince McMahon, Harvey Weinstein comparison, fine, but it's just comparing the whole company to that. That's what makes me annoyed. And that's kind of what gets me annoyed too when people look at AEW and they're like, well, they have their negative connotations about Tony Khan, so they want to dismiss the whole company because of that. And it's like, first of all, like I mentioned before, I don't think Tony Khan is that bad as everyone's making him out to be. I've spoken to people who work for the company. They're very happy there. They're very, like, they love the way he does business. With them, he treats his workers well. We don't know. We don't work there, so we can't say one way or the other. But for people to dismiss a product that people get on stage and work really hard every few days, and people come up with heavy ass cameras and like capture all the thing, and there's community outreach, like for people to dismiss it just because of Tony is the same, maybe not as bad as comparing someone to a rapist that didn't do anything. But you know what I mean? It's like the same, you're kind of letting the whole slip away because you're focusing on one thing. And that's where I get annoyed. But I do like the point that you brought up before about how them not staying in their own lane could have adverse effects.
And at this point, they're not on the same level as WWE in terms of, like, WWE's been a company since like the 1960s.
For
Like,
sure.
this has been a generational company. And like, when you can casually just like roll out Snoop Dogg and a whole bunch of other people onto a show like WrestleMania, like, it's a different kind of thing, and they're going for completely different things.
Yeah.
Like, I even remember like when Shaq showed up in AEW and stuff like that. Like, that didn't feel right in terms of like the product that they're trying to put on. It's a different thing, and there's gonna be people that like, what do I prefer? I've been a fan of WWE since I was in eighth grade. I love their product. But the thing is, like, I can appreciate watching Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay tear the house down,
Yeah.
and Swerve and Claudio the other night. They've had so like basically the whole entire Dynasty pay-per-view except for that shit Chris Jericho like 17-minute
Don't get me
match.
started. Where he came out the other day and he went, I am the learning tree. And like without hesitation, I went, oh no. Like just like that.
But besides that one match, and
Right.
here's a, and like, that's not like WrestleMania had duds too. Like, did we
Right.
need that stupid ass? They're not even the Hurt. I just want to call them the Hurt Business. They should just be the Hurt Business 2.0 versus whatever the hell Karrion Kross's
The Final
Final
Testament.
Testament bull crap is. Like, should not have been on the card, but it was. And even like the Usos match, I didn't even like. Like,
Yeah.
all these shows are gonna have matches that don't deliver. Like, let's all just enjoy wrestling and calm the hell down. And there's plenty of content for everybody to watch wrestling wise. WWE has a shit ton, AEW has a shit ton. Hey, you could even go support TNA and watch some of their stuff. Which, God, I think I heard that they had like record low buys for their pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad. And like bad. But, it's time to actually stop the tribalism of all this bull crap and just,
I agree.
just enjoy wrestling.
And it's like you don't even have to, it's okay if you prefer one over the other, but for me, it's like I go to them for different things. So stay with me here. But people, well, being a Disney aficionado, they're like, what do you prefer? I always get asked Disneyland or Disney World, because I go to Disney World every year and I'm at Disneyland. I have a Magicka, the annual pass. And my same thing I tell people, which is very similar to what I say with AEW and WWE, I was like, there's good and bad of both. Disney World is great because it's its own world tucked away, but at the same time, you're doing a lot of walking and a lot of planning. And Disneyland's much smaller. You feel it, it gets more packed. But at the same time, at the end of the day, I can drive home and be home in 40 minutes and in my bed. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like WWE. It's overproduced. It feels majestic. It feels like you're watching a movie. But at the same time, when you just want to see like two people get in each other's faces and go at it off the cuff, that's when you turn on AEW. So that's my whole thing. Like I feel like I'm comparing apples to oranges just because I like them for different reasons.
Well, and that's the thing. Even Tony Khan said it. They're an alternative to
Yeah.
WWE. And I think the downfall of WCW was that they're trying to run WWE out of business.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do that.
Right.
So, like, and at this point, it's just like, find your audience, enjoy it, cultivate it. And AEW's doing that. And they're going to have another show in London. They sold a shit ton of tickets last year, and I'm sure they will this time. So, things to be excited about.
Yeah.
But that's all I got to say about them.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to touch on, but no, not really. I think we hit it all. So, with that, I'm gonna say thank you for tuning in as always to the Ruthless Obsession podcast. We are part of the SPDM network of podcasts. They rock. Check out all our other amazing shows on the network. And hey, if you love our logo, because everyone knows how I feel about it and how Shane feels about it, and you need one for yourself, go check out High Flyer Creative. They work with you to get you the product that you want. They did a killer job with ours, and we know you'll be just as happy with whatever they do for you. And on that note, we will talk to you next week.
Thank you.